This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 242.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to get more engagement on social media. But before we get into the content, I just wanted to remind you about my podcast guide. So at your request, I've put together a PDF download which lists all of my podcast episodes. They're listed in theme order, so whatever challenge you're facing in your business, it could be email marketing, it could be social media, it could be Instagram, Facebook, Facebook pages, Facebook groups, it could be sales funnels, whatever challenge that you're facing in your business, there is a very good chance that I've got a podcast episode to help. In fact, I might even have several that will help you. So if you haven't got a copy of my podcast guide yet, go to janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide, and you can get yourself a copy there. And now on with the main part of the show. Do you feel like you're wasting time on social media because nobody is responding to anything that you post? Well, if that sounds like you, and if you're not getting much engagement on social media, I have some bad news for you. It is nothing to do with the algorithm on Facebook or any other platforms that you use. It's actually everything to do with the kind of content that you're posting. Now, the good news is that that means that you can change things, and you can actually change things around pretty quickly. So what I'm going to do in this episode is share 4 tips with you for creating really engaging social media content and actually getting people to like, comment, and share. So my first tip is to create great content. Now, it sounds really obvious, but if you want people to share your content, if you want them to like it, and you want them to leave comments on your content, then it's got to be one of 3 things, or in fact, all of these 3 things: helpful, inspiring, or entertaining. So I'll just repeat that for you. It needs to be helpful, inspiring, or entertaining, or ideally all 3. And if you publish content that helps people to solve a problem or makes their day easier, then you're much more likely to get their attention. And your social media content doesn't have to be a big long blog post or a big long Instagram post or anything like that. It could actually be something really, really simple. So it's something that's worked really well for me recently is taking the slides from some of the online masterclasses and webinars that I do. So I did one recently for my membership community, which was about how to make more money in your business. And I created some really good slides there, which had the different streams of income that I've got coming into my business. So how to create multiple streams of income. And I also created one on sales funnels. And I got my designer to turn those into Instagram-shaped posts. I also used them on Facebook as well. And they created a really nice piece of social media content. And all I did in the example of the multiple streams of income post, for example, is just ask that question. So how many streams of income have you got coming into your business? I posted up that picture and got loads of engagement. And I was able to recycle that piece of content to ask that question across all of my social media platforms at different times. So you don't constantly need to be thinking about new ideas. But the key thing is it's a nice visual. It's kind of really attractive looking. And it got people to talk back to me, to get into a conversation with me. So that's why that one worked really, really well. And an episode that you might want to have a listen to, I mentioned their repurposing. So I talked about how I took one slide from a webinar, I turned it into Instagram post, Facebook post, I posted it in my Facebook group over on LinkedIn, and I basically repurposed, reused that piece of content over and over again in different ways. And if that's something that interests you, because of course it does save you time, you don't constantly have to be thinking of new ideas, do have a listen to episode 203 with Amy Woods, because that's all about repurposing and making each piece of content that you create go further. You'll get loads of great ideas from that one. So my second tip about creating really engaging social media content, and this does work across any platform, is to start conversations. Now, the biggest mistake I see business owners making on all of their social media platforms is just broadcasting. So just posting up news of their latest blog or podcast or their latest product that they've got out. And if you're putting out this kind of content, then you're not really giving people an opportunity to do anything more than kind of like. So just to give you an example, if I go into my Facebook group on the day that this podcast episode is published, or on my Facebook page or anywhere else where I post content, and I just say, hey, everybody, I've got a new podcast episode. I know that I might get a couple of likes, I might get a few comments, but the engagement will be very limited because I'm broadcasting, I'm just telling people something. If I turn things around and I think about the theme of the podcast episode, so in this case, how to get engagement on social media. So if I ask that question, just a really simple turnaround there, if I just ask that question, how do you engagement on social media? Then I'm much more likely to get people to talk back to me because I'm starting a conversation. So actually, this is a real example. So when this podcast episode goes live, it'll go live on the third week of March. Then what I'll do is I'll go into my Facebook group. I've got my designer to put together some cards which ask questions that relate to my podcast episode. So I guess that the kind of question we'll ask with this one will be something like, how's your social media engagement? We'll give some options. A, really, really good. B, okay, but I think it could be better. C, I can't get anybody to respond to my post at all. And D, I haven't even started on social media, something like that. But the key thing as well is to give people options. You've got to make it as easy as possible for people to engage. And so what we'll do then is people who say my social media engagement is brilliant, and I can predict that that will probably only be a handful of people, but people who are opting for the B or C option, so my social media engagement is okay, or actually it needs a lot of work, then what we'll do is we'll share this podcast episode with them. And that works really well because I'm not just blasting my content out to people who may not necessarily be interested, who may not find it relevant at the moment. I'm actually giving that content to people who have the problem that this episode solves. So you can see how that works much, much better. So number three, my third tip is to invite opinion and experience. This one's really, really important. We all love talking about ourselves. We all love sharing our stories. So when you invite people to tell you about something that's happened to them, so you might start by sharing a story about something that's happened to you, but then turn it around and say, can you relate to this, or has this happened to you? You're immediately going to get much more engagement. Some of my best performing posts on LinkedIn, for example, have been questions. So what's the first record that you bought? What was your first car? And even my best performing post on LinkedIn was, what is your name in Starbucks? Or what name do you use in Starbucks? So just to put this into context for you, I have a thing where I don't like giving my name in Starbucks when I order a coffee. You know, that thing where they say to you, what's your name, please? And they stick it on your cup because I think, oh, I don't want people kind of blasting my name around Starbucks. It's a bit of a silly thing. But I know that other people have talked about that before. And they've also talked about the amusing thing where the barista gets your name wrong and then you get the little sticky note on the side of your coffee and it's got some ridiculous name. So I knew that that was a topic that other people would have opinions on. I also knew that some people hate Starbucks and have really strong feelings about Starbucks as well. So that's why I knew it was a good topic. I got literally hundreds of comments on that one, and I got tens of thousands of views in the feed just because I asked, what name do you use in Starbucks? So the more that you can think to yourself, how can I draw people in? How can I give them an opportunity to tell me about what's happened to them or something that's happened in their life, the more engagement you're going to get. So anytime you're thinking of posting content, just stop, take a step back and just think, is there a way that I could present this that gets people to tell me about them rather than me just blasting about myself? Now, just to give you another example, sometimes actually, you don't have to ask a very, very specific question. You could just share a personal photograph. So just to give you an example, yesterday, I am training for the London Marathon at the moment. And on a Sunday morning at the moment, every Sunday morning, I'm out doing these like really long runs. And yesterday I had to do a 16-mile run. As you'll know, if you're in the UK, we haven't had great weather here. So this is March 2018, if you're listening in the future. And it's been snowing, and it had actually snowed the day before this big run. And I was just thinking, I don't really want to go out there. It's going to be freezing cold. It's going to be icy. But if I don't go out there, it's going to mess my training up for the rest of the week. And the marathon's 5 weeks away, and I don't want to let myself down. I don't want to let anybody else down. So I went out. It was so cold. I had to wear two pairs of gloves, and my hands were still freezing. It was a bit slippy and a bit icy out there. But I got it done. And when I got back, well, actually, while I was out there, this killed my hands as well. I took a photo of myself with the snow in the background, which was awful because my hands were so cold. When I got back, I posted that on my personal Facebook profile, but also on my Facebook page. I also posted it on Twitter as well and on my Instagram story. So obviously at this stage, I'm looking for inviting. It's really nice if people want to donate, because I'm running for the Ectopic Pregnancy Trust to raise money for families affected by baby loss. So of course, when I do a run like that, I want to let people know about it and give them the link to donate. And I'll actually put a link in the show notes if you'd like to donate to my London Marathon Fund as well. But I put that on my Facebook page, actually, and I got so many comments from people. And a lot of the comments were, I'm a runner too, and I was thinking about going out today, and you've just given me the kick up the ass that I need to go out. Or there were things like, oh, do you know what? I've been thinking about starting running again, and that's really kind of given me an incentive to keep moving. So in this case, although I didn't explicitly ask people to give me their stories, because it was personal, because it was a photo of me, because I was giving people a bit of an insight into my life away from the podcast, away from my business, away from my blog, my Facebook group, then I think people felt that they were kind of part of my life and wanted to share their stories and their experiences. And so it really worked, that one. And I would definitely, definitely encourage you not only to ask people to share their stories, but to share content like photographs of places that you're... Actually, to give you another example, I was out in San Diego recently at Social Media Marketing World, and I was just sharing things like, I went to this ice cream parlor and I wanted to treat myself to one of those big like Knickerbocker Glory type ice creams. And when I got in the queue to buy one, I made the mistake of looking at the menu, which listed the number of calories in some of the ice creams. And there was literally like 1600 calories or 1800 calories in some of these Knickerbocker Glories. So I ended up just buying this little ice cream cone. In fact, it wasn't little at all. I photographed it because it was massive and it was really difficult to eat. And I was getting it in my hair and I was getting in a right old mess with it. But I actually shared that on my Instagram stories. I shared it on my Facebook page. I shared it over on Twitter, because people kind of relate to that kind of thing. And I did a couple of polls on my social media, like, do you think that restaurants should put the calories? Because it totally put me off. As soon as I saw how many calories were in a Knickerbocker Glory, I was like, no way, I'm not having one of those. That's almost like a whole day's worth of calories for me. And that got people really engaged. And actually, one more example to share with you when I was in San Diego was that I got into my hotel room, and some of you might have seen this if you follow me on social media. I stayed in the Stay Pineapple Hotel in San Diego, and when I got into my room, there was this cute little fluffy dog on my bed, not a real dog, like a toy dog, and I immediately took a picture of it to send to my daughter to say, oh, I've got this lovely thing to bring home for you. And she got back to me and said, oh, thanks, Mum, that's really cute. And then I noticed that it had a little tag around its neck that said it was $25. So then I went over and looked at the pillow on the bed, and that had this pineapple on, very sort of, because the theme of the hotel, Stay Pineapples, the hotel, so everything was kind of pineapple themed. And I do like pineapples. I've got quite a lot of pineapple stuff in my house. And it turned out the pillow was for sale. There was a little box of snacks and a little pineapple box. They were for sale as well. The dressing gown was for sale. And there basically was a whole price list. Now, as a marketer, I found that really interesting, because part of me was like, God, that's so clever. That's such a good idea. But part of it was like, I don't know if I really like the fact that everything is for sale in my hotel room. So I quickly gathered up all of the contents of my hotel room that was for sale. I arranged it on the bed. I took a quick snap of it. And then I used an app on my phone called Snapseed to put the amounts next to each item. And I posted it on my Facebook page. It's probably the biggest engagement that I've had for months when I posted that and just said, look, I've just noticed, I've come to my hotel room in San Diego, everything's for sale. What do you think about it? Is this good marketing or bad marketing? I did that over on Instagram. I also talked about it over on Twitter. Again, loads of really, really great, really, really great engagement on that one. And again, it was about sharing something of my life. So something that was going on, something quite personal to me, giving people a bit of a kind of like behind the scenes into what's happening in my life, but also getting people to share their experience, because then people were telling me things like, oh yeah, in some hotels, if you like the mattress, you can buy it. Some people were telling me about some other innovative marketing that they'd seen in hotels, and it was brilliant. I actually did it over on LinkedIn as well, so that post went really far. So my last tip is to be entertaining, and if you can, to make people laugh. It's a really, really great way to kind of break the ice and kind of build that personal relationship. So just to give you an example of this is, so a little while ago, I was filming some videos for my YouTube channel, and I've got one of those kind of Amazon Echoes in my kitchen. And while I was recording something, it not only went off, and Alexa started talking to me, but she also started to play in the night garden. So if you're not from the UK, you might not know what I'm talking about here, but this is a really kind of, when my daughter was little, I think it's still going actually, there's this kind of really annoying children's program on BBC called In the Night Garden. And it had all these kind of characters that just kind of made all these like weird noises. It was totally bizarre, this program, but all the kids seemed to love it and watched it. So it started playing the theme tune for that. And just the look on my face was hilarious when I watched it back. So I just took that little clip, 10, 15 minutes, I posted that on my Facebook page. And again, I got really, really good engagement. Another post that I've done really well was when I got all of the headshots that I've had taken over the last, I think it was the last 8 or 9 years, because I've worked for myself for years. So I've always had a personal website. I've always had personal headshots. I've always thought it's important to have professional photography taken. But my God, when I look back through the archives, some of them are terrible. So I did this post on my Facebook page where I just revealed, I think it was like the top 12 headshots that I'd had taken. And people love that because some of them were just absolutely cringeworthy. And I used to have, you might know this, you might have heard me talk about this before, but if you've seen photos of me, I've got really, really poker straight hair and this kind of straight fringe, but actually my hair is really naturally curly. It's absolutely mad, my hair. And I now have this Japanese straightening treatment called Yuko to calm my hair down. And I go to the hairdressers once a week to have my hair straightened because my hair is that difficult to manage, even with the straightening treatment. And so I've got some of these like crazy pictures of me with this crazy mad curly hair, which is just enormous. And everybody loved that one. And some people were sharing some of their worst headshots that they'd had taken as well. So it kind of got that engagement going. So remember that just because you are on social media, because you run a business, you don't always have to be, strictly speaking, posting about your business. Often those behind the scenes things, I mean, I guess the San Diego example, the hotel room where everything was for sale, but it's sort of business related and the big ice cream or whatever. But, you know, it's also kind of personal as well. And I think if you can get that mix between business and personal, think about what really gets people interested. And people aren't interested in hearing about business all the time. I think you'll get a lot more engagement if you can just think about how you can do that. People really do like to do business with people. So I'd really recommend that you just spend some time thinking about the kind of content that you find shareable, and see if that can help you inspire ideas for your own business. One other little tip I would give you actually is to think about the kind of things that come up in your Facebook feed that you end up liking and sharing with others. One that comes to mind for me recently, one of those kind of memes, was it had a picture of a washing label on a piece of clothing. And you know, you get those kind of guidance on how to wash and how to dry your clothes. And it had on it like iron, don't tumble dry, wash at this temperature, whatever. And then it said, or if this doesn't work, ask your mum. And that just made me smile. I shared that on my personal Facebook wall, and obviously it's been shared loads and loads of times. But those little things that other people can relate to, I think that's the key thing, and make them kind of smile. Creating that kind of content is often much more effective than kind of going all in on really serious business content. You'll probably find you don't get much engagement at all. And don't be afraid to mix the personal and the professional. So if this topic interests you and you want to find out more about creating more engaging, shareable content, then I've got a few more episodes you might want to have a listen to. So episode 198 on how to get more engagement on LinkedIn. And if you're not on LinkedIn, I would definitely recommend that you have a look because it's changing. I talk about this on the episode. It is not the boring corporate place it once was. Episode 196 is on how to get more engagement on Instagram. Episode 194, how to get more engagement on your Facebook group, and episode 214, how to get more engagement on Twitter. And I've got loads more episodes on how to get more engagement on social media, but there's just a few that come to mind. So as ever, I do love hearing from you. So do drop me a line and let me know what you thought of this episode. And you can get hold of me on social media, of course, as well. So I'm on Facebook at Janet Murray UK, over on Twitter at Jan_Murray, and also over on Instagram at Jan Murray UK. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide.